Chapter 16. Ruined. Llewellyn was cheered through the streets of Kirkwall, and people shouted Hawk's name, too. Fenris noticed vaguely. Champion. He was theirs. They went back to the Viscount's keep. Fenris slept through the day. When he woke, towards nightfall, it was mostly because of how unnaturally comfortable the bed was. It took him a moment, blinking up at the slightly moth-eaten hangings and a large portrait of Viscount Dumar with his wife and son, to realize where he was. He did not quite remember getting here. Someone must have steered him into a bedroom. An elven serving girl poked her head around the door.
"Will you be joining the celebration, sir?"
she said. Fenris groaned inwardly, but he nodded. Dressed, it was not hard to find the party. He just had to follow the noise. The great hall was full of tables, heavy with food, and the doors of the keep had been flung open. The party was spilling over onto the steps, and out and into the ruins of Hightown. He looked around for faces he knew. He could see only Meryl. She was sitting in the shadow of a great pillar with her nose in a book, frowning and muttering to herself. "Did you fail to notice the celebration?" Fenris said, standing over her. Meryl startled hard and dropped the book.
"Oh," she said. "That was very sneaky, Fenris. You're not normally sneaky."
"I was not sneaky," Fenris said. "You were not paying attention."
"Are you feeling any better now? You look much better. Is your shoulder all right? Do you need me to look?"
"I am fine." Meryl subsided.
Oh, well, good.
She bent and gathered up the dropped book, the scattered, torn pages that had fallen from it, a quill that looked like she had been chewing on it. When she saw Fenris looking, she held the whole mess up to show it to him. Fenris looked at the meaningless scrawls and looked at her and said nothing. Meryl blushed.
"It's the code from the Sundermount," she said. "I'll come to the party in a minute, I promise, but I'm so close I can feel it."
"Leave it, Meryl," Fenris said. "It has waited centuries. It can wait another hour." She blinked at him.
"Are you sure you're feeling all right?"
"What?"
"That was almost you being nice to me."
She gave him a dimpled smile when he scowled.
"I saw Hawk earlier. Why don't you go look for him?"
Fenris kept scowling at her.
"Did he really turn into a dragon and kill the demon because of the power of love? That's very romantic."
"No."
"That's how Varric was telling the story."
Fenris said, "I am going to murder that dwarf."
"Broody, good to see you. How are you feeling?"
"Murderous," said Fenris. He dropped into the empty chair at Varric's side.
"But normal for you, murderous? Not Red Lyrium murderous, right? Have some Endivan brandy. We were just talking about you."
Fenris tried a sip of brandy. It was good. He gave the various Kirkwaller and Orlesian noblewomen who made up Varric's current audience a dour look. It seemed to have no effect whatsoever.
"Did you really risk everything to seek your true love in the Fade?"
one of them said.
"How perfectly beautiful!"
"How beautifully perfect!" said another.
Fenris turned the dour look on Varric.
"What? It's a good story,"
Varric said. He took in Fenris's expression and said,
"I'll tell you the rest later, ladies."
The women took the hint and disappeared into the crowds.
"That glower,"
Fenris overheard one of them say as she turned away.
"I could swoon."
"My admiring readers," said Varric. "Aren't they lovely?"
"Is there any chance at all that you will not write a book about this?" Fenris said.
"None,"
said Varric, and gave him an affectionate pat on the shoulder. Fenris sighed. "Pass the brandy, then." There were worse places to be at a party than in the chair next to Varric with a bottle full of fine brandy on the table behind you.
"Funny when you think about it,"
Varric said. This is more or less how we began, isn't it? It took Fenris a moment to realize what he meant. Drinking in Skyhold for Hawk's death, the fine wines from the Inquisition cellars, and the slow gathering fury that had led him storming up to Llewellyn's tower.
Turned out better than we could have hoped, really, Varric said. He held up his glass.
Here's to Hawk, alive and kicking.
Hawk,
Fenris agreed, and clinked their glasses together. There were speeches. Fenris rolled his eyes a little. The Inquisition's chief diplomat gave a graceful eulogy for the dead, and Commander Cullen stood up and spoke some awkward platitudes about Kirkwall and his own history and the great achievements of the Inquisition, and Hawk fell into the chair on Varric's other side just as Llewellyn got up to speak. She looked very small after the two humans. The sudden hush made her expression flicker, for a bare second, to a grimace.
"Didn't miss anything, did I?"
whispered Hawk. He caught Fenris's eye over the top of Varric's head, ducked his head, and grinned. That old, familiar flirtation, which had no right whatsoever to still make Fenris's heart turn over in his chest. Fenris took another sip of brandy to hide his expression. He did not think Hawk was fooled.
"Just a bunch of diplomatic wittering," Varric said. "Poor Curly. He's not cut out for this."
Llewellyn finished and everyone applauded. Varric leaned back in his chair.
"So, Hawk," he said, steepling his fingers, "you're a dragon now."
The grin that split Hawk's face was infectious.
"Not right now," he said.
No, I can see that. But you were a dragon. A great big dragon,"
Varric chuckled. Hawk paused.
"Where are you going with this, Varric?"
"It was a big dragon, wasn't it?"
Varric said to Fenris.
"Biggest dragon I've ever seen."
Fenris covered a smirk as he realized what Varric was doing, and replied in more or less the same tone. "I've never seen a larger." The dragon hawk's head had been bigger than Fenris's entire body. He had kept his hand on the warm scales for some time, watching those golden eyes the size of dinner plates watch him.
"I've seen a couple about as big, nesting high dragons out in Empris de Lyon. But most drakes don't get above a third of that size, do they?"
"If that," said Fenris.
"What we're saying here, Hawk," said Varric, "is what's it like being female?"
"It's fantastic, thanks," said Hawk. "Would you like to see me breathe fire?"
Fenris snorted. Varric slapped Hawk on the back, grinning.
"Good to have you back, my friend," he said. "Glad you're done being an asshole, by the way. That was painful to watch."
Fenris observed Hawk's whole body cringe with interest.
"I'm not in the habit of giving relationship advice, because what do I know? But let me say it once," Varric said. "Because it's worth saying. When you've got someone you love, and that someone is prepared to stick with you, only an idiot walks away."
"Varric," said Fenris. He remembered the illusion of a handsome dwarven woman in the Fade, and the bleak expression on Varric's face as they turned away from a dream he had never believed in for a second.
"Nope, I'm done," said Varric. "I'm done. Don't give me that look, elf. I'm not the brooding type. The more I see of life, the more sure I am that whatever the hell this story is, it's never been a tragedy. And I have another book to write. My editor isn't going to believe half of it, but shit, he never does."
He picked up the bottle of brandy.
"Did you see where Daisy went? Someone ought to remind her that this is a party."
"By the pillar," Fenris said, and Varric walked off, whistling. Fenris met Hawk's eyes. Hawk said,
"Well, now I really feel like an asshole."
"As you should," said Fenris. Hawk winced.
"Listen."
"And now," cried the Inquisition functionary at the front of the room, "a few words from the ruler of Kirkwall." There was a long, awkward silence. Fenris looked over as Llewellyn stood up again. "Who is the ruler of Kirkwall?" she said. More silence. "You?" shouted some wit in the crowd. "No," said Llewellyn firmly. "Come on. I know the seneschal was killed in the invasion, but someone has to have been running the city." Hawk caught Fenris's eye, shrugged, grinned, cupped his hands around his mouth, and shouted, "Guard Captain Aveline!" It took a moment, and then the other people took up the cry. "Aveline! Aveline! Captain Aveline! Aveline Valen!" "She is going to kill you," Fenris said, as the people sitting nearest Aveline forced her to her feet, and cheering broke out among the drunken crowds of Kirkwallers.
"It was her or Meryl," Hawk said. "They have been running Kirkwall. Do you think I should have gone for Meryl?"
Fenris did not dignify that with an answer.
"You can't do this," said Aveline.
Llewellyn paused and turned to her ambassador.
"Can I do this, Josie?" "There is precedent. The historical Inquisition often settled inheritance disputes," said the ambassador. "Even those regarding heads of state. I believe the guard captain is the daughter of an Orlesian chevalier, and her husband is Kirkwall born. Both of them were instrumental in the defense of the city during the Starkhaven invasion. The endorsement of the city's champion is also a strong recommendation."
"Perfect," Llewellyn pointed at Aveline. "You seem competent, and everyone likes you. Congratulations, you're Viscount."
"What? 3 cheers for Viscount Valen!" Hawk shouted, mischief sparking in his eyes. "Hip, hip!" "She really is going to kill you," murmured Fenris under the roar of cheering.
"Worth it," said Hawk. "Aveline's good for Kirkwall. Always has been."
He leaned closer, reached for Fenris's hand.
"But I probably ought to make myself scarce for a while," he said.
His fingers were intertwined with Fenris. Hawk had big, warm hands. Not so warm as the dragon's hide. That had seemed to shimmer with the beast's inner fire. Hawk had his inner fire, too, Fenris thought. He was, after all, a mage. His thumb rubbed across Fenris's wrist, and where it brushed a no longer poisoned line of lyrium, it set off a little sizzle of reaction. Magic answering magic in a way that was not exactly pain.
"Come with me," Hawk said.
Fenris allowed himself to be pulled to his feet. Threading their way through the crowds felt like getting away with something. People occasionally tried to stop Hawk and talk to him.
"Champion, I heard you were dead!"
And Hawk blithely ignored them. His grip on Fenris's hand stayed firm. It felt almost dreamlike. The crowds around them meant no more to Fenris than the foggy, formless emptiness of the Fade. But there was Hawk ahead of him. One real thing, a fixed point, turning back to catch Fenris's eye and smile. They emerged from the keep into a crisp late summer evening, the first autumn chills just tangible in the air. The sky was streaked pink and purple as the sun set. There was a bonfire flickering merrily in front of the stairway up to the great double doors, and long tables set with food along the partially smashed colonnade. Some musicians had set up next to the biggest space, clear of rubble, and people were dancing. Most of the crowd were Lowtown people, dressed up in their clean but worn chantry best. Fenris caught sight of a few alienage elves among the dancers.
"Nothing quite like total destruction to bring out the heartwarming displays of togetherness," Hawk said.
He was not towing Fenris along now, but he had not let go of his hand. They walked side by side. "Or no one in Kirkwall can afford to turn down free food."
"Or that," said Hawk. "Do you know, I still don't know what happened to my house. Let's go and look."
The Amel estate was in ruin, of course.
"Wow," said Hawk, as they contemplated it. "That demon really didn't like me."
Fenris looked away.
"Hey," said Hawk, "it's only a house."
"It was your home."
"Not really,"
said Hawk. Not for a while now. The demon disliked you because I was angry with you, Fenris said.
Well, you were angry with me because I was an arrogant ass, said Hawk. So it looks like I have only myself to blame.
Fenris huffed out an amused breath. True enough.
Are you still angry with me?
Said Hawk. He didn't look at Fenris as he said it. He was still gripping Fenris's hand.
Yes, Fenris said. Extremely.
Hawk's fingers flexed as he tried to let go. Fenris held on. He was trying not to smile. Hawk stopped trying to pull away after a moment.
So, how much crawling do I have to do? Roughly,
he said.
A rough estimate.
How much are you prepared to do?
As much as it takes, Hawk said at once.
Interesting.
Nothing weird.
Fenris gave him a sideways look.
I mean, not weird. I mean...
Fenris raised an eyebrow.
Anything you want,
Hawk said in a helpless rush.
Are you offering to fulfill my most perverse sexual desires in exchange for my forgiveness?
Fenris said.
Well, no, when you put it like that, it sounds awful,
said Hawk.
And I would actually really like to fulfill your most perverse sexual desires anyway.
Would you?
You're enjoying this,
Hawk complained, red-faced. Fenris snorted.
Only a little.
Here to Skyhold, he said.
What?
Here to Skyhold. That should be enough crawling.
Literally?
Fenris glared at him. No, you idiot.
Well, that's a relief, said Hawk. These are my favorite robes.
More quietly, he added.
You're joining the Inquisition, then?
Yes.
There was quiet.
I need to find out what happened to Carver,
Hawk said. The mess with the wardens was pretty messy at the end.
Fenris nodded.
I have to go north, said Hawk.
Fenris bit down his immediate instinctive, take me with you, and said nothing.
But the Inquisition might also want to know what's going on with the wardens,
Hawk said uncertainly.
Or might already know, said Fenris. Their reach is long.
Inquisitor Lavellan owes me. I could ask,
Hawk said. He glanced sidelong at Fenris.
You could, Fenris agreed.
Hawk made a frustrated noise. Fenris turned his head inquiringly into what turned out to be a kiss. He made a startled sound, and Hawk tried to pull away. Fenris grabbed his hair and pulled his head down. The kiss went on for a long time. Hawk was as vocal as Fenris remembered, moaning when Fenris pulled their bodies flush together, making eager, hurt noises in his throat at the feeling of Fenris's teeth in his lower lip. There was a breeze springing up, blowing dust through the ruins of Hightown, chilly now that the sun had set. Fenris felt the cold touch of the wind on the back of his neck, his arms, but between the two of them there was a pocket of perfect warmth which more than compensated.
Is this your way of telling me I need a haircut?
Hawk mumbled against Fenris's mouth eventually.
You had to ruin it, Fenris said.
I ruin everything. It's part of my charm.
Fenris snorted. His hands were still in Hawk's too long hair. He probably did need a haircut. Fenris pretended he was not stroking it, and did not move away. It would have ruined that warm space between them.
I missed you, Hawk said. You have no idea how many desire demons pretended to be you. It was terrible.
And you were not tempted?
None of them were cranky enough.
You have particular tastes, Hawk.
You've ruined me for other people, that's all.
Really?
Hawk laughed. Fenris could feel his chest vibrating with it.
There were 3 whole years I could have slept with Isabella any time I felt like it, and I didn't. If that's not ruined, I don't know what is.
Fenris smiled. Didn't you?
Isabella had made the odd pass at him, too, during those 3 years. He had turned her down, eaten up inside with how he felt about Hawk, and she had accepted it cheerfully. Kindly, even, with a wink, a smile, and a friendly touch on the arm. He might have changed his mind had it not been for the strength of his longing for Hawk. It was strange to imagine Hawk doing the same thing for the same reasons.
"I did cry on her shoulder once," Hawk said, "drunkenly, while she laughed at me."
He touched 2 fingers to the tip of Fenris's ear, stroked around the curve. It was a tender, unhawkish touch. Fenris leaned into it, turned his face into Hawk's hand.
"Ruined," Hawk said again, eyes gone dark as he watched.
And Fenris rested a hand on his hip and thought about other memories. Hawk still dressed, thrusting against his thigh. Hawk laughing at himself as he struggled out of his clothes. Hawk shuddering underneath him. Eyes open, reaching up, smile changing from wicked to delighted. They would have that again. Fenris would have that again.
"If you keep looking at me like that, I am going to get down on my knees and suck you off right here," said Hawk.
Like a threat. Fenris gave him a look, and then a smirk, even as his body registered that idea with a hot flare of interest. A sharp twist in his stomach and warmth pooling between his legs. There had been no one since Hawk. It had been a long time since Hawk.
"Is that so?" he said.
Hawk groaned at his expression.
"You think I don't mean it, but I really do," he said. "Fenris!"
"Fine, prove it," Fenris said. Hawk's eyes widened. And then he started laughing. After a second, he leaned down and pressed his laughter against the side of Fenris's neck, hot, hitching breath in between biting kisses that made Fenris's pulse jump. Hawk steered them both backwards into the shadow of a still-standing wall and fell to his knees among the rubble, hands either side of Fenris's thighs. When he looked up, his face was flushed, his eyes bright with challenge and something else. Fenris leaned back against the ruined wall and licked his lips and managed to say in a voice that was almost dry and almost steady,
"This is not quite what you promised, Hawk."
"Oh, you are asking for it," said Hawk, and he might have said more, but Fenris glanced up for a moment. Then he reached down without looking to push Hawk's head away from where it was resting against his thigh, because they were being watched.
"What?" said Hawk. "A public thoroughfare bare yards from the road to the Viscount's keep might not be the best place for this."
He said it without looking down, though he kept his hand on Hawk's shoulder. It did not feel safe, somehow, to look away from Solus's lean, ragged figure. He was a dark silhouette against the dusk, paused and looking at them from several yards away. It was only the slight animal gleam of his eyes that Fenris had seen. Hawk scrambled to his feet. Fenris took a deep breath, his body still feeling hot with fading anticipation. A few seconds behind the sudden change of mood, and stepped forward.
"I apologize," said Solus.
There was a slight smile tugging at his mouth. Amusement, Fenris thought, though his tone was courteous.
"It was not my intention to interrupt you."
He nodded politely at Hawk, but it was Fenris he was looking at. Fenris he was interested in. He was dressed for travel.
"You are leaving," Fenris said.
Solus nodded, but he did not move. His eyes glittered, reflecting all the dim light that was available, like the jeweled eyes of the Tevinter dragons. Like the opal eyes of the statue of Mithal.
"What is it?" Fenris said. "What do you want?"
"You were not mistaken about Arlathan," Solus said. "For many, too many, it was a vile place."
"You were staring creepily at us just to say that," said Hawk.
But Fenris put a restraining hand on his shoulder and he fell silent.
The humans came as thieves and scavengers to the ruins of a great civilization. They took our crimes for their model and shaped their empire after ours. The best was lost, Solas said, and the worst endured. It should not have happened that way.
That is hardly your fault, Fenris said. Solas shook his head.
A beautiful work of magic may also be ugly, in intent, in consequences. It would have been better by far if the slave markings had perished with the empire that made them. I am sorry for what was done to you.
The mage responsible for what was done to me, said Fenris, is dead. I killed him. I do not need your pity.
Not pity, Solas said. I could still remove them, if you wish.
Fenris made himself think, properly, made himself consider. To get rid of them. To eliminate every trace of Denarius on his skin. But it was not on his skin that Denarius had truly marked him. He had known that even before the Vengeance Demon had seen it in him. And trying to fight without the powers granted him by the blighted markings had felt crippling. He was too used to them. Had used them too long. There was Hawk to think of. Hawk, who could never stay out of danger for 10 minutes together, even before courage. Something else nudged at his memory, too. Meryl on the mountainside, touching her own marked face in horror, and then changing her mind.
But that's not what they mean now. We changed it.
No, he said. Solas said nothing else. For a long time, he only looked at Fenris, while Fenris looked at him. Finally, he closed his eyes and bowed his head once. A valediction. And then turned and walked away. There was a long moment of silence.
Well, that killed the mood, said Hawk finally.
He put an arm over Fenris's shoulders, warm and heavy. It was a comforting anchor to a world that had briefly seemed unreal.
Do you think we should tell him he's going the wrong way?
Solas had left in the direction of the Lowtown markets. He was more likely to end up wandering the maze of the lower city than actually leaving Kirkwall. Fenris shook his head. Forget him, he said. He felt a moment of pity, sympathy, rather, for Inquisitor Llewellyn. But it was hardly his place to interfere, and he doubted anything he said would make a difference. In his own way, Solas was as fixed and unbending as Anders had been.
Well, in that case, where were we?
Hawk said. Not a question, more of a challenge. Voice full of smirk as his arm tightened over Fenris's shoulder. Fenris snorted. On a public thoroughfare, Hawk.
Well, we can't have that, said Hawk. There's probably a law. You know how Viscount Valen is about her laws.
She is still going to kill you. Hawk kissed him hard and pushed him back a few paces. Now they were among the ruins of the Amel estate. In fact, Fenris rather thought they were standing in what was left of the entrance hall.
There we go, Hawk said. Private property.
Hawk, your private property has no walls. Hawk dropped to his knees.
Be honest, he said. How much do you really care right now?
Hawk, Fenris said, but he did not stop Hawk's hands at his belt. He tried to help, in fact, which slowed matters down. Hawk kept abandoning his purpose to kiss Fenris's fingers. Fenris, his blood beginning to pound again, had no attention to spare for anything else, and he did not notice the small figure running down the steps from the keep until she started calling out to them.
Fenris! Fenris! Hawk!
Coffus! Fenris muttered, with feeling, and shoved Hawk away again.
Twice in 3 minutes,
Hawk said, rueful, laughing as he got to his feet. I told you we needed walls, said Fenris. And then Meryl stumbled to a halt among the ruins. She did not seem to have noticed what they were doing. She was shaking and desperately pale under her markings. Hawk's brows drew together in concern.
It's him, Meryl said. It was him all along, and now he's gone.
Meryl, what is it? What's wrong? Said Hawk.
Calm down and... He wrote it all down. I'm so
stupid! Denonsa lost their Othim! It wasn't a riddle, it was just the truth!
Meryl, said Fenris sharply, what are you talking about? She caught her breath and looked up at him with wide eyes.
Solas, she said. Have you seen Solas?
We saw him just a moment ago. Do you want us to go after him? He was heading into Lowtown, so he can't have got far. Meryl sagged in relief. Fenris caught her arm as she stumbled, so he felt the instant when she froze again, all the muscles in her arm stiffening, as she whispered,
Lowtown! The alienage! Oh no! Oh no!
She tore herself out of Fenris's grasp, expression wild.
The Arulan home! The orb! The alluvian! They're all in my house! Tarly's there!
What is it you think he's going to do, Meryl? Hawk said.
He's going to destroy the world!
Meryl said.
What? Really? How do you know? Because he did it once already!
She was already turning away as she spoke, starting to run, green light shimmering around her and tree roots erupting from the uneven ground to throw her along at speed. Fenris and Hawk exchanged a single look.
No sex today, then, said Hawk.
Get Lavellan, Fenris said, and went after Meryl.